this episode of Newt's World, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, and I want to start by wishing each of you a very happy Thanksgiving and a chance to be with your family, because this is the first Thanksgiving after COVID that many families will have gathered together since the pandemic started. So families are coming together to celebrate this uniquely American holiday, which grows out of our history, Thanksgiving. It's the one holiday each year that unites us, no matter what your background is. Thanksgiving is a holiday celebrated by virtually every American because it celebrates our founding as a free, independent people and allows us to reflect back at all those who came before us in this country to support a society where religious freedom would prevail, where we would be prosperous, and where we could celebrate God's bounty to the American people. I thought I'd start by talking about some of my own personal memories. I was born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I grew up in the little towns of Hummelstown and Middletown and Royalton and Steelton, bouncing around my relatives. I had two families. My parents got divorced, and my mother remarried, and I was adopted by her new husband. So I went from a McPherson to a Gingrich. But the McPhersons wanted me to come to their Thanksgivings, too. So I had this great opportunity as a kid. Two cycles of Thanksgiving, two cycles of turkey legs, two cycles of pumpkin pie. I mean, it was pretty good. Central Pennsylvania, as many of you may know, is a very traditional conservative area, at least when I was growing up. It was one of the places that, while Alf Landon was losing nationally in 1936, he was carrying Central Pennsylvania by 2-1. It was very, very union-oriented because, of course, it was just above Gettysburg. And it was very Republican in that era, which may explain part of my own background. But it was also a place that had great traditions. And of course, we were very deeply influenced by the Amish. So there were a lot of Amish dishes that came over, things like shoe fly pie. And many of my favorite memories, I have to confess, are food. As a little kid, I just loved turkey legs. I actually still love turkey legs. But when I was a little kid, it was really pathetic because you didn't get turkey legs half the size of you. My relatives were into very big get-togethers. And so they would have 20, 30, 40 people at Thanksgiving, which meant you had to have really big turkeys, which meant you had a really big turkey leg. And I would cheerfully always whine until I got one of the turkey legs. I could look forward to that all day and then walk around cheerfully, getting grease all over my face as I gnawed away at this turkey leg. And then, of course, when you got to dessert, I should stop and say, things like cranberry sauce were integral. In fact, I'm very worried this year because there are reports that there's going to be a shortage of cranberry sauce, although my son-in-law, Jimmy Cushman, has already done homemade cranberry sauce, sent us a picture. We're going to have our Thanksgiving with the Cushmans and the Lubbers in Atlanta. Really looking forward to being together again after 4 years of being in Rome. Jimmy, who's a great cook, his daughter Maggie, who's an even better cook, are gone to town here. And so I'm confident we'll have one or two turkeys, plus probably a ham. Jimmy's fixing all sorts of side dishes already. And then they'll have, of course, a lot of desserts. But back to the McPhersons and the Gingriches and the good old days. Several of my aunts were great pie bakers and cake makers. Others were great at fixing the main courses. And they would all come together with these amazing meals. And because I belonged to two different families, on some days I'd actually get to go to both Thanksgivings, which had its own great advantage, of course. Then I got two turkey legs. So I will confess that in my childhood, well, I knew this thing about the Pilgrims, and of course, I grew up in a generation where the schools taught the Pilgrims and the Thanksgiving fairly straight, because it was a real historic event. We do have records of it. It was done to celebrate that God had been good and that they were giving thanks. I mean, Thanksgiving in its original meaning is not a transliteration of turkey. It is for giving thanks. And so they initially did that. We had people dress up as Pilgrims and do the whole routine. I will report, because my opponents might try to denigrate me, I never dressed up as a turkey. That is not true, and no one should say that. But we would study the period of the arrival of the Puritans and the Pilgrims and that whole process in the early years of the country. And that's my personal experience. I look forward every year to Thanksgiving, which, of course, also is a time to watch pro football. And I had an uncle who was very successful in business. We would go to his home, in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, had this wonderful thing, and I knew every Thanksgiving that approximately 1 hour after eating, he would be on the couch, laid out, falling asleep, and all of us kids would run around, and it didn't matter how much noise we made, he wouldn't wake up. So he'd get in his two-hour nap, and he'd had a great Thanksgiving because he was totally refreshed. It was a different world. It was a world that I look back on with enormous fondness. And then, of course, we went on to interesting places as my dad was sent around by the Army to Fort Riley, Kansas, and Orléans, France, and Stuttgart, Germany, and finally to Fort Benning, Georgia, where I became a Georgian. And we had Thanksgiving every single place. And my mother, who had learned a great deal from both her mother and her aunts, do a pretty good job of fixing Thanksgiving. And my stepfather was a very good cook. So I've always been surrounded by these very good cooks. So that's my personal report on Thanksgiving. But, you know, it's also part of a much bigger and longer story. Thanksgiving became official at the very beginning of the country. On September 28, 1789, this brand new government, in its very first year, just before they left for recess, the first federal Congress passed a resolution asking that the President of the United States recommend to the nation a day of Thanksgiving. Now, just think about the priorities they were setting. These were the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, wrote the Constitution, fought the British for 8 years. And they were saying in their very first session in Congress, you know, we really ought to give thanks for the fact that we're at peace, that we have an economy that's beginning to grow, that we have an established government, and that we have a president who is respected and loved by virtually everyone in the country. A few days later, President George Washington issued a proclamation naming Thursday, the 26th, 1789, as a day of, quote, public Thanksgiving. Many presidents have issued days of Thanksgiving, but they varied by date and month. From 1789, it was not until 1941, just before World War II, that Congress passed a bill establishing that Thanksgiving would occur annually on the fourth Thursday of November, and on November 26, 1941, Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the bill into law, only about 2 weeks before Pearl Harbor and American entry into the war. Now, there's only one other firsthand account of the first Thanksgiving. Colonist William Bradford kept a journal entitled Of Plymouth Plantation. He described the autumn of 1621 as follows, quote, "And besides waterfowl, there was great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many, besides venison, etc. Besides, they had about a peck a meal a week to a person, or now since harvest, Indian corn to that proportion." Although it does not specifically mention whether they ate wild turkeys on Thanksgiving or not, however, when his journal, lost during the siege of Boston in 1775, resurfaced and was reprinted in the 1850s, the idea that the early colonists hunted wild turkeys became widely popular. And wild turkeys, by the way, were very common and all over the East, as colonists came from Europe. Sarah Joseph Hale, the editor of Godey's Ladies' Book, campaigned for years for Thanksgiving to be represented as a national holiday, and her campaigning was successful when Abraham Lincoln took note and he established his proclamation. So you had the founder of our country, George Washington, and the savior of our country, Abraham Lincoln, both proclaiming it. Lincoln said, quote, "As the President of the United States has the power of appointments for the District of Columbia and the territories, also for the Army and Navy and all American citizens abroad who claim protecting from the U.S. flag, could he not, with right as well as duty, issue his proclamation for a day of national Thanksgiving and for the above classes of persons?" Hale published recipes and wrote cookbooks for Thanksgiving that featured turkey as the main bird. So this tradition of turkeys clearly got locked in the middle of the 19th century. After Lincoln made his proclamation in 1863, turkeys began to appear on Thanksgiving menus. Now, it's kind of funny because there's an old story that Benjamin Franklin wanted the national bird to be a turkey. Frankly, I believe this story. For years, I told this story that Franklin had said that he wanted the turkey, not the bald eagle, because supposedly in a letter Franklin wrote that the bald eagle's a bird of moral bad character. He does not get his living honestly. He's too lazy to fish for himself. And about the turkey, Franklin wrote that in comparison to the bald eagle, the turkey is a much more respectable bird, and withal a true original native America. He is besides, though a little vain and silly, a bird of courage. Now, Franklin did defend the turkey against the bald eagle. However, he did not propose it to be the national bird instead of the eagle. So the story is half true, and I feel semi-vindicated, although I like the original version better, even if it wasn't true. Let me go back to the beginning of the American Republic and Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation. Now remember, Washington was involved in the Seven Years' War, actually started the French and Indian War as a very young man in his 20s. He was involved in saving the British Army during Braddock's march when they were ambushed by the French and Indians, when Braddock was killed, and Washington was literally the man who saved the army, again, still in his 20s, came back and was involved in the Continental Congress, became the head of the army, spent 8 years fighting the British, went back home, came back to the Constitutional Convention, which he presided over, was elected president unanimously. And so he had always said that anybody who thought that the United States became an independent country without the divine intervention of Providence did not understand what happened and did not understand how providential many of the events were. He was thinking, I think, in particular of the point in 1776 where the American army was trapped in Brooklyn, had to get across the East River. The Royal Navy was sitting in the East River and would have destroyed any American effort to go by boat. And suddenly a huge fog rolled in. You literally could not see anything. And the Americans were able to sneak across the river in boats driven by fishermen from Massachusetts, and the army was saved. And I think Washington looked at events like that and thought, this had to be providential. This couldn't just be a random accident. And his army would have been destroyed if the fog hadn't come in. So when Washington's issuing a Thanksgiving proclamation, he's looking back as an older man at a life in which, again and again, remember also that in the battle where he saves the British army when they are ambushed by the French and Indians, he has 4 bullet holes through his coat and has 2 horses shot out from under him. So when Washington talks about being grateful, he really has a lifetime to be grateful for. And this is what he said in the very first proclamation, in the very first year that the United States existed as a formal country. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and Ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789. Now, I want to just say as my own personal belief, if every student in school studied this and understood the depth of Washington's belief that God had favored America, that God had provided the opportunity, that we owed, in fact, our privileges, our prosperity, our safety, and our liberty to God, I think we'd be a healthier country. At a time of fentanyl killing many Americans, at a time of teenagers committing suicide, at a time of people who are crazy driving trucks into crowds, at a time of random violence and an arrogant belief that 80 people can run into a store and steal whatever they want and nothing will be done. At this time, I would argue that the classic traditional beliefs, the beliefs of people like Washington, Franklin, and Adams, the beliefs of people like Lincoln, are a dramatically better world for us to live in and our children to live in than the mess that has been created by those so arrogant that they think they can get rid of God, get rid of patriotism, tear down the statues of national heroes, and somehow replace it with what? With an empty world of no hope, with people dying from drugs, and with people killing each other out of hatred, hatred often taught in our schools today. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, we should remember that there's a deep moral, religious base to Thanksgiving, that we are giving thanks to God, and that we're giving thanks for things which God has enabled us to have. Now, Washington was the winner. He's looking back on a lifetime of having created a country, defeated the largest empire in the world. The next great Thanksgiving proclamation is issued in the middle of the Civil War. If Washington is creating America, Lincoln is saving it. And remember, Lincoln will ultimately go to Gettysburg to give his great address at the dedication of the First National Military Cemetery. Gettysburg was the largest battle in the Civil War. It was fought over 3 days. More people died at Gettysburg than any other single place. And Lincoln is trying to say to the nation, despite the agony, despite the loss of life, in some cases, despite the loss of your husband or your son, that we still need to give thanks to God. And this is what Lincoln issued on October 3rd, 1863. Quote, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well as of iron and coal, of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased. notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do, therefore, invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, command to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. Done at the city of Washington, this third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1863, and of the independence of the United States, the 88th, by President Abraham Lincoln. Now think about what it must have taken in depth of belief to have endured the Civil War, and yet to have concluded that we still owed thanks to God, and that in fact, as you would see later when in his second inaugural, Lincoln again comes back again and again to what is God's purpose. What does God want us to learn? And again, I would suggest to you that a school which started with Washington's declaration and went to Lincoln's, which spent this week asking, why did they issue these proclamations? What were they trying to tell us? What was their view of what being an American meant? That school would be 100 times more effective in creating good citizens than the kind of woke, left-wing, anti-American education that tragically goes on today. However, on a happier note, because Thanksgiving did continue despite the efforts of some, one of the things which has made our modern Thanksgiving unique is the Macy's Day Parade. The first Macy's Day Parade, and I remember as a kid watching these and just thinking, wow, it's amazing. And even today I watch when they have these giant balloons and I wonder how they're going to manage them, particularly on a windy day. The first Macy's Day Parade on November 27th, 1924, was not intended to be for Thanksgiving. The store wanted to showcase the opening of the world's largest store and its million square feet of retail space. The store happened to have decided to hold it on Thanksgiving morning. The parade was watched by 10,000 people. Now think about the size on television today of the audience for the parade. But it was watched in 1924 by 10,000 people. And because of the success of the parade, Macy's announced the following morning that would stage another parade the following Thanksgiving, with an announcement in the local paper stating, quote, "We did not dare dream its success would be so great." The Macy's parade now has been going on for almost 100 years. I kind of wonder what their 2024 parade will be like. And it's part of the American pattern. You know, you get up in the morning, usually late, you have a little breakfast, you start the turkey, you start the other food, then you go turn on the TV, you watch the Macy's Day Parade, and about the time the parade is over, it's time for lunch, all your friends and relatives have shown up, you have a great time, and then it's time for the football game. So you have a great Thanksgiving, except for my Uncle Red, who of course is asleep on the couch. But he was having a great time too, because what he wanted to do on Thanksgiving was sleep on the couch. So in that tradition, knowing that all of us have many things to be grateful for, and that all of us should remember the divine providence who has enabled us to be together, to share ideas, to be free, and allowed us, despite inflation, despite logistics chains, despite all that stuff that annoys us, The fact is that we are still the most amazing country in the world. We still, 330 million strong, offer greater opportunity for people, which is why people come here. There are no great lines to get into China. There are no great lines to get into Germany. There are no great lines to get into Brazil. But there are people all over the world who recognize that you get to say Thanksgiving in America for really good reasons, because we have so much to give thanks for. And that's part of why I just wanted to share this combination of a personal memory and the history of Thanksgiving. And I want to thank you for listening. And I hope all of you will have a good Thanksgiving. I know that COVID has divided us. It's certainly been involved in my own family. But last year, people were left eating alone and they were isolated. This year, almost everybody will be able to come together. And I hope that as you get together with your family, you'll both remember America. You'll remember God's role in making us a remarkable country. And you'll remember that our national anthem ends the first verse with the land of the free and the home of the brave. And as long as we're prepared to be brave, we'll remain free. And when we no longer have the courage to be brave, we will no longer be free. And we have a lot to give thanks for. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope that you have a chance to get with your loved ones. And I hope then that next year we'll have an even better Thanksgiving in a country that is healed and that is an even more comfortable with itself than we are right now. Thank you for listening, and I want to wish each and every one of you and your families a very happy and restful Thanksgiving Day. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers, our producer is Garnsey Sloan, and our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Penley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Right now, listeners of Newt's World can sign up for my 3 free weekly columns at gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.